Love Talk Radio.
God, that's for the real. Coming strong with it.
1 Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Hello?
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. We're just so happy that you could join us. We want to just thank the Lord for everyone here today.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Give God a praise. Amen. We are broadcasting live in Canton, Georgia, 9550 Bells Ferry Road, Canton, Georgia, 30115. If you're in the metro Atlanta area and you would like to come by, get some good teaching, get some good praise and worship, come by and join us. Amen. We may be small in number, but we're big in spirit. Amen. And we trust in God that he's going to send the people. He's going to bring them. It's not about us. And that's what we're preaching about today, the spirit of pride. It's so much of this is going on in the body of Christ, and we're just going to be bringing some things out. And hopefully after we bring the message, we can do some self-evaluation. And if we are the spirit dwelling in us, we can repent of that today. Before we start, let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you. We thank you for gathering us here today on this beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up, giving us, clothing us in our right mind, giving us a heart that is pleasing to you, that we will follow you and only you will we follow. Lord God, we thank you that you are touching the Kingdom of God ministries. We thank you that you are bringing the people into Kingdom of God ministries. We thank you that people are seeking out to be set free, to be delivered, to be healed. Lord God, and we just give you all the praise and glory, and we humble ourselves before you, Lord God, because we are, it's not about us, but it's about you. And we want to give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord. Like I said, we will be teaching on the spirit of pride coming out of Proverbs 6, 16 through 17. But before we get into our message today, I would like to always I give you a definition of pride. This is the secular definition of pride. And you know, a lot of times, even the world, they use this word and they throw it around. You know, you can have a sense of pride because you go to school and you can lift yourself up, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and this is a sense of pride. But let's really define what God says about the spirit of pride. Secular definition of pride means pride is conceit, self-esteem, egotism, vanity, vainglory, imply an unduly favorable idea of one's own appearance. That's what vainglory means. And you can see on TV, that's all they do nowadays. It's a lot of vainglory. If you look at Hollywood, that's all you see is vainglory. They look at themselves higher than they ought. They look at themselves. They want the whole world to worship them. These different entertainers, vainglory. Advantages, achievements, this is how they look at themselves. Sometimes people even go to particular schools and associate the degree. They look at what school did you go to. Did you go to this Ivy League school? Well, if you went to this Ivy League school, then that means that you all this. If you went to that community college, then you're nothing. So these are just different things of vainglory and often apply to offensive characteristics, which I will be going down through some of the characteristics of pride. Pride is a loss. An often arrogant assumption of superiority in some respect. And when you see today, we have a lot of pride. We got pride in the churches where one church can't fellowship with the church because you're not big enough or your skin color is not the right color. So I can't fellowship with you. These are spirits of pride, and it has to be dealt with. We even got people now talking about gay pride. What are you proud about being in sin? But they have masked that in the spirit of pride. So they walk around in arrogance, and by no means of I'm talking down on my gay friends or whoever is listening. I invite you to come to Kingdom of God ministry. But there's an exception. We teach the word. Now, if in perchance you want to come and you want to fellowship, you are welcome. We welcome everybody, but we do teach the word. Now, as far as gay bashing, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to teach the word. And I hope that the word will find you. It applies to me. That applies to the adulterer. That applies to the fornicator. That applies to the liar. I'm not going to just single out the gay people and say your sin is such an abomination, but you got a murderer, you got a liar, you got a cheat sitting in the midst. We gotta deal with some things. Okay, Webster Dictionary says the quality or state of being proud, inordinate self-esteem, conceit, reasonable or justifiable self-respect. So this, you can take that on another end, but I would prefer to use self-respect than use the word pride, because if we go to the scriptures, we're going to show you what God said about pride. So while the world many times tell us to be proud of what we have accomplished or what we have or how we are, we know from the word of God that pride is actually a sin and can lead to our downfall and destruction. In the word of God, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. That is Proverbs 6, 16, and 17. Pride goes before destruction. The Holy Spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. haughty is an actual ruling spirit over pride, also known as the stronghold. Many people don't know that the spirit of haughtiness even exists. It controls and dictates other spirits such as pride, perfection, accusation, competition, mockery, stubbornness, self-righteousness, gossip, boastful, sarcastic, and critical to operate in people's lives. So a lot of times, even Christians sitting up in the church have a haughty spirit. They full of arrogance. They boastful. They look down on people. Jesus did not come looking down upon the sinners, but he came to set the captives free. It says a scripture in Isaiah, and we're going to get into this, Isaiah 14 through 14, tell us, Lucifer fall because of pride. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the congregation on the side of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. This is the attitude of Lucifer. So when you following in this spirit of pride, you begin to set yourself up just like Lucifer was. Let's go on. Luke, if you could turn to Luke 12, 16 and 20, and it kind of correlates with what the brother read this morning, but I'm just jumping down a little bit more. Okay, Luke 12, 16 and 20, and I will 16 through 20. It says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And that is what I want to say today, because a lot of times we see people, they accumulate a lot of wealth. They have big, nice houses, big homes, fine cars, and all this stuff, and they look at themselves as something that they have did. But God gave you the wisdom. God gave you the knowledge to acquire wealth. And if you notice, I said haughtiness. A lot of times when they have the money, when they have the riches, they are very haughty, very arrogant. They look down on people. This is how Hitler was. He had the spirit of pride because he deemed within himself he wanted to wipe out anything that was not German descent. Because he looked down on people, and he deemed within himself, we'll terminate them because they're not even worth. This spirit of this Aryan nation going around saying that this white pride, white power, these are spirits of the devil, black power, this is of the devil. You cannot take yourself and look down upon another race or treat somebody bad because it makes you feel good. God doesn't want us to be like that. Amen? It's hard to put on humility if you don't think you have pride. The characteristics of pride can be understood as follows. Let's look at the characteristics. Being blind, unable to see pride. Pride envelops itself in smoke unless you're in the mirror of God's word. And God, by his grace, allows you to see your sin. And that's what we need to do as a nation. We need to look at ourselves, America. We're full of pride. The average person passing, going here, coming here to the center today, passed by the packs. You would have thought they was having some kind of rap or something. There were so many cars. I mean, early this morning. People do, they have a sense of pride to say, I don't need God. I'm good the way I am. Who are you to tell me I need God? I'm all right. I got it going on. I don't mess with nobody. So they look at them as being good within themselves. Amen. Being blind, unable to see pride. Pride envelops itself in smoke unless you're in the mirror of God's word. And God, by his grace, allows you to see your sin and its magnitude. Some people see the logs in other people's eyes and maybe the speck in their own. They may even say, I'm proud, and then move right on as if they were insignificant. So God wants you, when he points something out in you, he wants you to say, look, showing you this to take notice. This is what I see in you. I'm not pleased with it. Do something about it. Pride brings on unthankfulness. Proud people think they deserve only what is good. The result is, why should they be thankful? As a matter of fact, they may even complain because they think they deserve better. They tend to be critical and complainers. And you can see it even today, even in this generation. He said this generation is a proud, perverse generation. They're unthankful, ungodly. They don't be thankful. And I was telling one of the young women at the job, I said, if I come up where we didn't have a lot of these luxuries. I mean, even in the church, we didn't have air conditioning. We had no fans. We even had outside toilets. You see, we didn't have luxuries like this. But they was making their way to the house of God. Now, bad folks in the house of God. You got to give them all kinds of entertainment so they can come to the house of God. Where is the heart that is just seeking God because of who he is? Because I am thankful, like I prayed earlier, that he woke me up this morning, that he clothed me in my right mind, that I have a roof over my head, that I have godly parents, that I have a godly husband, that I have a... It's a thankfulness. When you become unthankful, you operate in the spirit of pride. This person is a walking minus sign. They may grumble, be discontent, see the downsides of everything, be quarrelsome, be divisive. No one is safe around this type of person. And you can see them coming a mile off, full of negativity. I know a young lady, and you could say, well, I'm good. She'll say, what's good about it? Just negativity. Just so full of negativity, and I find myself getting away from folks like that. Because I say, you ain't going to pull me down. Because you ungrateful, you unthankful. Number one, you ain't got a relationship with God. Oh, you want everybody else to be miserable like you. That's a spirit of pride. Outburst of anger. Withdrawing. Pouting. Being moody. Or impatient. Because one's right or schedules aren't being met. It's all about you. So I get attitude. Because you didn't do what I told you to do, so I ain't going to fool with you. You say it all the time. Come on. All the time. Perfectionist type person who wants to be the best at everything or so proud. Why? Because it's self-serving. They brag. They talk about themselves all the time. Oh, look at me. I got this going on, and I got this, and I got that. It reminds me of, he would say, a cartoon character, you know, Garfield. He says, Odie, I'm tired of talking about me. You talk about me for a while. Some have an inflated view of their own importance and abilities and talents. Full of arrogance. You even see it in the church. Preachers, arrogant, full of pride, full of haughtiness. I'm not going to even deal with you because you're not in my bracket. So now they don't even say it like this. They say, well, we get with people that can support our ministry and help us out. So what is this about? This is arrogance. This is pride. Seeking independence. Some proud people find it extremely difficult to work under someone else, to submit. They have their own boss. They're their own boss. They say, I don't need anyone. I don't need accountability for my faith and doctrine. Others cut themselves down with comments, but inwardly they crave self-sufficiency. Another characteristic of pride, monopolizing conversation, being rigid, stubborn, headstrong, and intimidating, saying, is my way or the highway? Do we not in the churches? You, the preacher may say something and understand. They say, you better not come to me. You better not say nothing to me. Because they have set themselves up, and you can't even question anything because they look at themselves as all that. They don't have a humble spirit. And consumed with what others might think of them, being man-pleasers or man-fearers. Number eight, being devastated by criticism. Person full of pride, he can't take constructive criticism. And a lot of times we have to use that word lightly, too, because sometimes criticism can turn into attack. So if somebody coming to you with constructive criticism, take it. Don't take the offensive and say, oh, you just attacking me. Amen. Not listening very well. They compose what they are going to say while you're speaking. And you notice when I said earlier, sometimes they have monopolized the conversation. They won't let you get a word in edgewise. You can't tell them nothing. They don't listen. They don't want to hear nobody. It's all about me. I got it. They override the whole conversation. They don't want to hear nothing because they feel that they're the only one that have all the answers. Not listening very well. I've read that. He said, being unteachable. They know it all. They're superior. They can't learn anything. Number 11, being sarcastic, hurtful, jesting, saying, that's just the way I am. That's my personality. I'm that type. Okay? I'm definite. I'm a lion. I'm a beaver. I'm a mule. Whatever else you want to call them. So they attach that pridefulness to the different type of personality. And they'll say, well, you know, I'm just a Capricorn. That's just how we are. Devil is a lie. I don't believe in them signs. No, I don't believe in that. Wanting to be praised or coerced to serve. You got to touch. Would you please do that? We really need you. Please, could you help us out? Please. That makes them feel good. Well, if you really need me like that, then I guess I can do it. Loose here. Loose. Okay, let's go on. Being defensive. It can't be my fault. Then they attack one another. Trivializing their sin, rationalizing it, justifying it, judging others by their own self-made standards. Often, pride people rarely admit their sin and ask for forgiveness. They'll look at yours. They'll point your sin out. Oh, I remember when you did such and such and such. What did you do? That woman when she was caught in adultery, and it was all going to stone her. She was caught in adultery, and Jesus broke down on the ground, and then he said, woman, what? Who are your accusers? She said, I have none. He said, go and sin no more. I don't accuse you either. I don't condemn you. This is what pride people do. Those scribes and Pharisees were full of pride. Probably some of them had even slept with her. So Jesus could have been writing all their names down who had been with that woman. But you're going to get out in public like you all that. See, Jesus, he just right there, he sat down. It says, they lack in biblical prayer, in service to others, and in sacrificial deeds of love. You know, we should always pray without ceasing. This is what we should do. They resist authority, being disrespectful. We say he or she has a submission problem. No, they have a pride problem. It's displaying itself that way. This person is rarely concerned about the welfare of someone else. They view and judge others in terms of how others support them and their concerns or their ministry, their voice, their preference, even when not asked. When they do voice them, it's without compassion or consideration for others. They convey an unapproachableness. Even when someone points out a flaw, there's always a quick retort, minimize it, and moving on. This is what you see in the ministry nowadays.
Yeah.
They're so full of pride. You help them to get to where they are, and then when you need somebody, they're right there for you. You support their ministry, they get up, but when you need somebody, they're not there for you. Because they don't look at you as big. I've made it. Or they got their whole big entourage come before them when they come into the entrance. Bishop so-and-so has come in, and he's got 30 or 40 armor bearers before him. This is pride. And God is sick of it. Let's go on. I want to talk about the king of Tyre. And you notice over there in Ezekiel 38, let's read a little bit about that. And then I'll turn the floor over. I'll yield the floor over. Amen. Ezekiel 28, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, you say, I am good. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of these. You are a man and not a God. Though you set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasures. But your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Will you still say before him who slays you, I am God? But you shall be a man and not a God. In the hand of him who slays you, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of the aliens, for I have said the Lord thy God. And this is what God was saying to this king, the king of Tyre, who is in destruction of that city, is particularly set up as a mark for God's arrow, a lamentation for the king of Tyre when he has thus fallen, though he falls by his own iniquity. And this is what pride does. He said, pride cometh before a fall. You do not sit yourself up in this teaching going on telling people that I am God. Remember what he said to the king of Tyre. You do not be telling people to call themselves little God, because they're not even on the level of God. They can't even think how God thinks. It's high above ours that the heaven is the earth. We cannot tell people to say, I am God. I can think that. That's New Age theology and it's demonic. This man of God, he said, Son of man, called the prophet. He said, you go unto him. You have to go to him. He said, and I want you to tell him. Here is something to be said to him. A message from God, which the prophet must send him, whether he will hear it or whether he will forbear it. But he sent the man of God. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to tell him about his destruction, because I'm not pleased with it. The man of God must tell him of his pride.
Yes.
He must tell the people of their pride. And so is he. And they shall both be made to know that God resists the proud. What are the expressions of his pride? His heart was lifted up. He had great conceit of himself. He was puffed up with an opinion of his own sufficiency. And he looked with disdain upon all of the abundance of the pride of his heart. He said, I am a God. And not only said in his heart, but had the impudence to speak it out. God had head of princes. You know, God will call us the sons of God, but he never said we are God. Amen. So this is what the spirit of pride will do. He thought that his city was just so great that it could never come down, but God said, it's going to come down, and you're going to go down right with it. So America, I want to say this to America. We need to wake up. And you know, and I hear people say, oh, we're the greatest. Nobody can ever attack us. You know, when they attacked Pearl Harbor, we didn't think that nobody could attack us, but they did. Don't think you're so great and you're so mighty that nobody thought we're the world superpower, but think about it. We always wasn't the world superpower. Don't think that you're so great that you're not going to come down one day, because if you don't turn to God, God can humble you. These are just a few scriptures of pride. For the grace, he said, for by the grace of merited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself higher than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the decree of faith apportioned by God to him. That's in Romans 12 and 3. But he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and the haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. That's James 4 and 6. Though he scoffs at the scoffers and scorns at the scorners, yet he gives his undeserved favor to the low in rank, the humble, and the afflicted. Proverbs 3:34. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand, forget not the humble patience and crush. Psalms 10:12. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity, my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. And you guys continually keep us in prayer. And at this time, I will turn this over to Pastor Bobby. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. People of the Most High God. We are continuing in our lesson on the spirit of pride. It was brought out earlier on what pride is, so we know what it is now, and we're going to deal with some other things in reference to pride, because pride can be nationally and it can be individually, and we want to deal with this. But pride and haughtiness, when it comes to haughtiness, haughtiness is the kind of pride as whereas not only do you think of yourself as all of that, but you look down at the next person. And you look at that other person as below you, less than you, and of no consequence in reference to you. It's all about you, and everybody else can go jump in the lake because it's about you. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures in reference to the spirit of pride. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, and then I'm going to talk about one of the greatest kings that ever lived, and it's not Solomon. But he was one of the greatest kings that ever lived, and I'm going to get into the of that king. But in the spirit of pride, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 17:14, and this is talking about Goliath as he came against David. Now, when the Philistine looked about, he saw and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. What Goliath did when he saw David, he said, what? Why are you going to send this little person to me? He's not equal to me. That's what Goliath said. David is not equal to me. I am so much greater than him. This is an insult to my character that you would send this little whatever to me. Look at me. I'm over 9 feet tall. I've been fighting wars since I was a child, and you're going to send this shepherd to me. I'm going to just kill him, wipe him out. And before he could finish speaking good, he was dead, laying on the ground. He was wrapped up in his own self. God hates that, and he proved it on the battlefield. And when you check history out, many nations that were wrapped up in pride, check your history out, you'll find out that these nations were conquered by lesser nations, nations that weren't as great as they were. God sent a lesser nation to destroy a mightier nation, because that great nation that God had set up got itself in a spirit of hardiness and pride and walked around like, I'm all that. Nobody can touch me. I got the greatest military. I got the greatest soldiers. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I got the best of everything. Nobody can touch me. And God say, wait and see if anybody can touch you. And they were touched and destroyed, and the ashes and the crumbled buildings are over there to this day, and you can go and look at them anytime. But they were great and mighty at one time, but they were lifted up in haughtiness and pride, and they looked down on all the other nations. And that's how Goliath looked at David. And the little shepherd young man took him out with a stone. Not a sword, not a spear, not a conventional weapon, not a bow and arrow, but a stone took down a man over 9 feet tall, probably 300 or 400 pounds. A little shepherd boy took him down in an instant because God put the shepherd boy. And that's who you want to be with you. And God is the only somebody. I'm going to go a little further. And God is the only someone. God is the only one that can deal with a haughty and prideful spirit, because a prideful and a haughty spirit is coupled with a huge foul spirit called a Leviathan, a dragon. God has to deal with that. But all of you listening out there, if you have that spirit on you, you have to surrender that to God, because you can't handle it on your own. You can't. It takes God to deal with that spirit. Of course, God can deal with any spirit, but that particular spirit, you have to surrender it to God, because you can't handle it, because it incorporates with your spirit and it tells you what you want. It builds you up in yourself. So you have to be careful. Now, Proverbs 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the fraudulent mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 17:19, he loves transgression, that loves strife, and he that exalts his gate seeks destruction. A person that exalts himself, destruction is coming after that. Because how will you exalt yourself and you don't have the power over yourself? Amen. It says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Let me read that again. Say, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Jeremiah 49:16 reads, your terribleness has deceived you and the pride of your heart. O you that dwell in the clefts of the rock, that hold the height of the hill, though you should make your nest high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 29:9 reads, and the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he has said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Pharaoh said, the river is mine, and I made it. I made the water in the river. I'm God. I can do what I want to with Egypt and the river. It's mine. I made that. And you know what the Lord did to them. Look at Egypt now. Egypt, at one time, was a superpower. They were a superpower at one time. But Egypt got uplifted in themselves. Pharaoh started to call himself God. And then they went and they touched Israel. They want to try to make them slaves. They want to try to rule over them. And God put 10 plagues on them. And ever since God put 10 plagues on Egypt, and God said Egypt would be a base nation, what is Egypt now? They are a base nation. Many of them don't even understand their own hieroglyphics. They built the pyramids, but they don't know how to build the pyramids. Now, what do you think that was? God strapped the knowledge out of their minds. Because they were so lifted up in themselves and they dared to call themselves God. The Pharaoh dared to call himself God. Watch it. Be careful, people. Listen, be careful. You can never be God. You can never be on the level of God. You can't even begin to think like God. You can't even begin to act like God unless you repent, get saved, and get full of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way. Now, my Lord, now everyone, Proverbs 16 and 5, everyone that is proud in heart, listen to this now, goes past the mind, gets down into the heart and soul. Proverbs 16 and 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination, it says, an abomination to the Lord. Go hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. When you hooked up in pride, it's an abomination to the Lord. But God say, even though you working together with somebody, you got your little plan together, you're full of pride, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, God say, he's going to punish you for that. He's going to deal with you in that area. Now, there's something else in Proverbs 16 and 18. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then it says, the 19th verse, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You see what God just said? He said, if you lift yourself up in pride, if you look at yourself as all of that, if you look around at your brother and you say, hey, man, you ain't got, you're nothing. Nothing is going on. You're not doing anything. I'm all of this. Do you have a degree? How many people in your church? How much money do you have? Look at me. I'm all of that. Look at my rings. Look at my cars. Look at my airplanes. Look at me. Look at I. Need to get the mold out your eye. Get the beam out your eye. Maybe you can stop saying I. Because God said when you have that kind of attitude, he said you're heading for destruction. When you have that kind of attitude, you're going for a fall. He said, it's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Then it says here, there is a way that's right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God speaks well of pride and haughtiness. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God commends somebody who puts other people down. I don't see, when you read the Scripture, especially in the New Testament, God doesn't even favor so much of it. It's not, but it's because of attitude toward other people. That's why. Look, God doesn't care really about how much money you have, but he does care how you relate with that money to other people and how you look at other people because of the money that you have. Because you lift yourself up in time say, I am all of that. I did this, and this is all mine. It's mine. It's mine. And God will do something to you. Something will happen to you when you have that kind of attitude, because God is not pleased with a haughty and a prideful person, period. We're talking about the spirit of pride. It is a spirit. It is from the pit of hell, and that's what God Satan kicked out of heaven, this haughty and prideful spirit. He thought he was greater than God. He wasn't. He wasn't. And he's not. And he never will be. He cannot be. And so God doesn't want us to have that spirit, because it leads to destruction. And not only does it destroy you, it destroys everybody around you. Because you don't see your own self. You don't see the condition of your own heart and mind. And you think you're going in the right and proper way, and you're going astray. Let me read this in Luke 18, and then we're going to go to another different place here. Now, listen to this here. Now, this is Luke 18. I'm going to start at the 9th verse. And this is Jesus talking here. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they what? They looked down, they despised others. Let me read this again. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. First of all, they didn't trust in God. They didn't trust in Christ. They trusted in themselves. They looked at themselves as all of that, and they controlled what they wanted to control. They didn't need anything but themselves. And then it also said that they were righteous and despised others. They were righteous, but they despised others. So what was that? That was a self-righteousness. Now, what is self-righteousness based in? In pride and holiness, because you're self-righteous and you don't see what other people do. You don't recognize that. And Jesus dealt with that with his disciples, because the disciples at one time, they saw somebody that was not in their particular group, and that particular people over there were going out and casting out demons and doing things like that that the Lord told them to do. And they come to Jesus and say, well, wait a minute, Lord. These folks are over here casting out demons. Why don't you go over there and stop them? And Lord said, no, don't stop them. He said, if they're not against us, they're for us. Leave them alone. They're doing what I told them to do. Just because you don't understand it, don't you come up and judge them and become self-righteous because they're not immediately with us. But they're working what God has them to do. But these people didn't say that. They were righteous. Now, they say, Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, the Pharisee is of a religious order. The Pharisee is somebody like the scribe. They're supposed to study the word. They're supposed to know the word. They're supposed to know the way to God. They're supposed to be righteous. They're supposed to be able to lead people to God and Christ. That's what they're supposed to do. And the other man, a publican. A publican, he's just a regular somebody. You know, he really has a whole lot of scripture knowledge. He's not a priest or anything like that. He's not a Pharisee. He's a publican. He's closer to the people. Now, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Oh, Lord. He prayed with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, as sinners, unjust, adulterers, or even as that publican over there. Now, I ain't like him. That publican, I ain't like that publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God,
and the two legs with iron and clay mixed together. Now, God has seen Babylon to the point, and Nebuchadnezzar to the point, that head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar. Because Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was, how you say, Nebuchadnezzar was so wealthy, his kingdom was so wealthy, they had so much gold that he could build a statue over 50, 60 feet tall made out of solid gold. So God fashioned and looked at Babylon as that head of gold. He conquered many city, nation, states. He conquered Egypt. He conquered Assyria. He conquered, Edomites, all these different people. He conquered them, and he conquered Israel and Judah. So God gave them some authority. God gave King Nebuchadnezzar some power. God did all this. He had the hanging gardens. They said his kingdom, his city, the outskirts of his city, he had a wall that was wide enough and tall enough that four or five chariots could ride abreast on that city, top of that city wall, and not touch each other. And they could turn around on top of the wall and not touch each other. And the wall went around his entire kingdom. His entire city, that wall went around. He built that. He orchestrated all that. He had some of the greatest warriors on the face of the earth at that time. The man was smart. God gave him a lot of wisdom. God made him a great king. But let me read some things. Daniel 4 reads, and I'm going to read the first part of it, because what King Nebuchadnezzar did before he talked about what happened in his life, he opened up and he gave God all the glory before he told the story. Say, from King Nebuchadnezzar to the people of every province, nation, and language in the world, I wish you peace and prosperity. Now, this is King Nebuchadnezzar. I am pleased to write to you about the miraculous signs and amazing things the Most High God did for me. His miraculous signs are impressive. He uses his power to do amazing things. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His power lasts from one generation to the next. Now, this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He says he was living comfortably at home. Prophets were living in this palace. I had a dream, and this dream terrified me. The vision I had while I was asleep frightened me. So I ordered all the wise advisors of Babylon to be brought to me to tell me the dream's meaning. I've got to know what this dream means. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. So he calls magicians. He calls psychics. He calls astrologers. He calls fortune tellers, and they came to him, and they couldn't tell him what it meant. He went to all this stuff of the world, and they couldn't tell him what his dream meant. But then Daniel came to him. Now, what happened in ancient times is that when one nation would conquer another nation, the inhabitants of the conquered nation, many times their names would be changed. Now, Nebuchadnezzar named Daniel Belshazzar, which meant my God Baal. Now, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that the spirit of the holy gods was in Daniel. You know that, as I said, gods, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, but Nebuchadnezzar recognized that Daniel had some gods in him. But what he was actually saying was he thought that Daniel had some of the same gods in him that he used to worship, that those astrologers and psychics and fortune tellers had no power to tell him the dream. See? So Nebuchadnezzar did not recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the main, true, one, living God. God was going to deal with that. So Daniel told him the dream. I know the spirit of the Holy God is in you. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said. No secret is too hard for you to uncover. Tell me the meaning of the visions I had in my dream. These are the visions I had while I was asleep. I was looking and I saw an oak tree in the middle of the earth. It was very tall. The tree grew and became strong enough and tall enough to reach the sky. It could be seen everywhere on earth. It had beautiful leaves and plenty of fruit, even to feed everyone. Wild animals found shade under it. Birds came to live in its branches. It fed every living creature. I was seeing this vision as I was asleep. Then I saw a guardian, a holy being, came down from heaven. He shouted loudly, "Cut down the oak tree. Cut off its branches. Strip off its leaves. Scatter its fruit. Make the animals under it run away and make the birds fly from its branches. But leave the stump and its roots in the ground. Secure it with an iron and bronze chain in the grass in the field. Let it get wet with the dew from the sky, and let it get its share of the plants on the ground with the animals. Let its human mind be changed and give it the mind of an animal. Let it remain like this for 7 time periods. The guardians have announced this decision. The Holy Ones have announced this so that every living creature will know that the Most High has power over human kingdoms. Has power over human kingdoms. Who has power over human kingdoms? The Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh has power over all human kingdoms. He gives them to whomever he wishes. He can place the lowest of people in charge of them. Now, I said, this is a dream. I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, you blessed all tell me it's me. Because the wise advisors in my kingdom, they can't tell me anything. I pay them good money. And they can't tell me anything. I feed them. And they can't tell me anything. I provide the clothes on their back. I take care of their whole family. But they can't tell me anything about this dream that I had. Help me, Daniel. Help me. Help me. Okay. And Daniel, he did. Now listen to what Daniel said. He said, "Sir, I wish that the dream were about those who hate you, and its meaning were about your enemies. You saw an oak tree grow and become strong enough and tall enough to reach the sky. It could be seen everywhere on earth. It had beautiful leaves and plenty of fruit, enough to feed everyone. Wild animals lived under it, and the birds made their homes in its branches. You are that tree, Your Majesty. You grow and became strong and mighty until you reach the sky. Your power reaches the most distant part of the world. You saw a guardian, a holy being, come down from heaven." He said, "Cut down the oak tree. Destroy it, but leave the stump and its roots in the ground. Secure it with an iron and bronze chain in the grass in the field. Let it get wet with the dew from the sky. Let it get its share of the plants on the ground with the wild animals for 7 time periods. This is the meaning, Your Majesty. The Most High decided to apply it to you, Your Majesty. You will be forced away from people and live with the wild animals. You will eat grass by cattle. The dew from the sky will make you wet. And 7 time periods will pass until you realize that the Most High has power over human kingdoms and that he gives them to whoever he wishes. Since I said that, the stump and the tree's root were to be left, your kingdom will be restored to you as soon as you realize that heaven rules." You remember what I said earlier, that Nebuchadnezzar realized that Daniel had some spiritual power and authority, but he reckoned that spiritual authority and power to his God, not Daniel's God. All right? All right? Now listen to this. That is why, Your Majesty, the best advice is that you stop sinning. Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, the best advice that I can give you, he didn't tell him that give me some money. He didn't tell him that maybe you need to go and build a statue. He didn't tell him that. He told him that you need to stop sinning and do what is right. Stop committing the same errors and have pity on the poor. Uh-oh. Maybe you can prolong your prosperity. You see that? Stop committing the same error. Have pity on the poor. Most people that's uplifted in pride, most wealthy people that's uplifted in pride, not all of them, but a lot of them don't pity the poor. They look down on them. They take from them and then talk about them. Now, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. And listen to this, 12 months later, a whole year later, after Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and after Daniel explained the dream to him, he was walking around the royal palace in Babylon and the king thought, oh man, I got it going on. Look how great Babylon is. I built the royal palace by my own impressive power and for my glorious honor. I got it going on. Look at what I did. Who can touch me? And before the words came out of his mouth, a voice said from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this. The kingdom has been taken from you. You will be forced away from people and live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle, and 7 times tears will pass until you realize that the Most High has power over human kingdom and that he gives them to whomever he wishes. Just then, the prediction about Nebuchadnezzar came true. That thing, it came true. He was forced away from people, and he ate grass like cattle. Dew from the sky made his body wet until his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails grew as long as birds' claws. God took some on him. When he got uplifted up in pride, when he went to talk about his accomplishments, when he went to talk about how he had it going on, when he started uplifting in himself and in all of his own knowledge, and he did not take into consideration what God had done for him and that God had set him in the position that he was in. God put something on him. He put something on him. And if you notice, you can read through the scripture, Nebuchadnezzar, of all the kings of the earth, this was the only king that God did that to. So God was specifically dealing with him on a specific era for the teaching and the training of everybody who comes in position of power. Don't get lifted up in pride. Don't get lifted up in yourself, because I gave you your brain. I gave you the desire. I gave you the wisdom. God gave that to them. And so they should recognize God. Now, at the end of the seven time period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my mind came back to me. I thank the Most High, and I praise and honor the one who lives forever, because his power lasts forever, and his kingdom lasts from one generation to the next. A person that is uplifted in himself, that is uplifted in pride and haughtiness, is not in his right mind. Because Nebuchadnezzar said when his mind came back to him, he thanked the Most High. He prays and honors the one who lives forever, because his power lasts forever and his kingdom lasts from one generation to the next. Everyone who lives on earth is nothing compared to God. He does whatever he wishes with the army of heaven and with those who live on earth. There's no one who can oppose him or ask him, what are you doing? Just then my mind came back to me. My royal honor and glory were also given back to me. My advisors and nobles wanted to meet with me again. I was given back my kingdom and made extraordinarily great. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, will praise, honor, and give glory to the King of Heaven. Everything he does is true. His ways are right, and he can humiliate those who act arrogantly. Now, that was from one of the greatest kings that ever lived. Now, if God did that to him, we should be thankful that we are in this age of grace. We should be thankful for Jesus Christ because God doesn't change. He still looks at that the same way. So if you have the spirit of pride in you, or you have a hardy spirit, you need to put that at the foot of the cross because that is the only way that that is going to be dealt with. If the Lord had not dealt with Nebuchadnezzar as he did, Nebuchadnezzar would never have realized who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. And he would have died in that terrible state. But God touched his mind, touched his heart, slapped him, chastised him, let him know who he really was in himself. And when Nebuchadnezzar realized who he really was, he cried out and praised God and said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." That is a terrible spirit because not only is it to look down on people, it will cause you to mistreat people. It will cause you to hate people. It will cause you to hurt people, and it will cause you to kill people. That foul spirit of pride dividing that haughty spirit. What is the answer for haughtiness? What is the answer for pride? The answer for haughtiness and pride is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's, do you hear me out there? It's Jesus Christ. Don't you get uplifted in yourself. Don't you take on the attributes of Satan. Don't you take on the attributes of Nebuchadnezzar. Don't you take the attributes of the kings of the past who have not perished because of their pride and arrogance. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. God responds to humility and humbleness. God is not interested in your pride. God is not interested in your hardiness. Because he created you. He made you. He knows everything about you. He made you just who you are. He created you the way you look. He did that. God did that. So how can you be uplifted in how you look or what you have or anything for that matter? Because without God, we're nothing. If God decided one day that he's going to not allow people to breathe, guess what would happen? All of us would just fall over dead. Nobody could bring us back but God. So I say to all of you listening out there, now is the accepted time. All of us need God, but the person that does not have God or doesn't have a relationship with God, needs them much better and greater than somebody who has a relationship with God. And it's real simple. I mean, it's not something that's hard to do. To be saved is not hard. To accept Jesus Christ is not difficult. It is simple as speaking and believing. And I'm going to tell you how to deal with that spirit of pride and hardiness. But it says in Romans 10, starting at the 8th verse, but what says it? The word is nigh thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that will take care of hardiness and pridefulness. Because in order to accept the Lord, you have to ask for forgiveness. You can't come to the Lord talking about, well, I've not sinned, or I'm all of this, or I got to come in it the way I want to come in. I got to do it, I got to accept the Lord the way I want to accept. If he don't do it the way I want him to do it, then no. It's just like the Lord said. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that God has raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. You have to humble yourself to do that. To do that, you have to make yourself of low degree. Because what you're saying is, I need you, Jesus. I can't do it on my own. I can't handle this thing, whatever it is. I got a problem. I need deliverance. I need to be saved. So I surrender myself to you. That takes care of that pride and humbleness. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They feel that they don't need God. They don't need God because they have arrived. They feel they have arrived on their own. They say God didn't have anything to do with me going to college. God didn't have anything to do with my 4.0 grade point average. I'm smart because I'm just smart. God had nothing to do with that. I got this money because I just got this money. God didn't have anything to do with that. I wake up on my own. I wake myself up in the morning. God didn't have nothing to do with me waking up. I go to sleep when I want to. God didn't have anything to do with that. But if you let some devils come up on you, then you're going to realize how important God is in your life. But if you have a spirit of pride, you're not going to recognize anything God does. If you have a spirit of pride, you're not going to recognize anything anybody else does. If you have a spirit of pride, you have a devil. If you have a haughty spirit, you have a foul spirit. And you need to get rid of it. But what I'm saying to everybody out there listening, the only way you can get rid of any of the things that we talked about is through Christ Jesus. Don't go to soothsayers. Don't go to palm readers. Don't go to people who have tarot cards. Don't go to witches and warlocks. Don't get involved in demonology. Don't try to pull up demons and cast spells and do hexes. Don't do any of that. Go to God in Christ, and he will set you free. He will deliver you. Drop your pride. Drop your hardiness. Recognize that you don't have the power that you think you have. Recognize that you don't have the knowledge that you think you have. Recognize that you don't have the wisdom that you think you have. You don't have it like that. People, you don't have it like that. That. You need God. The nation needs God. We need him desperately, especially now. People are dying by the hundreds of thousands and the millions without God, without Christ, steeped in hardiness, steeped in pride, steeped in false religion. God is standing there. He's right there at the door. Only thing you got to do is accept him. But you got to drop your pride to do that. You got to drop the heart and spirit to do that. But whenever you do it, whenever you call on Jesus Christ, he will answer you. He will save you. He will set you free. He will set you free. Drop the spirit of pride. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. At that, that's going to close out our radio broadcast, and I say to all of you out there, we need the Lord. We all need the Lord. But to you all out there that are in bondage, that are wrapped in chains of darkness, let your pride go. You can't handle it. You cannot handle it. Call on Jesus. Call on him. Try him out. Try him out. Try him out. You'll see that he's real. He's more real than the stuff that you're going through, and he will break that stuff off of you. He will break that off of you. He will set you free. He will make you a new creature. He will make you a new creation in him. And you can have the mind of Christ residing in you, not the spirit of pride, not a prideful mind. So we thank God for everything that went forth, and we're going to pray out and close out this broadcast. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, We pray, Lord, that you bless everyone that listened to this program. To everyone out there who is bound up and suffering under the spirit of pride and hardiness, we come against that spirit, we bind it up, and we cast it out right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask that you touch their minds and their hearts and give them the desire to come against this foul spirit in Jesus' name, that they can be humble and that they can walk in your ways, Lord, and that they may be obedient to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We also come against every spirit that would hinder. We come against every spirit of oppression. We come against every spirit of depression. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, we bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you for the revelation of your word. And Father, we ask that you touch the minds of those that are listening, that the word would be revealed to them in true revelation, that they will understand your word and grow in it and accept it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Is that it? Okay, praise God. All right, well, that's it. We thank God for everything. That's it. Praise God. That's it. Bless the Lord. Thank you.